Blog Talk Radio. Freedomizers, welcome to Freedomizer Radio. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty with Constantine, our host for this hour, so I'm going to pick up some slack. And with me on the line, I have a good friend of mine. Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Jay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, you're coming in good. How's it going, Tommy?
Good, good. It's going all right, man.
Yeah, how are things in the anarchist world?
Crazy as usual.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, speaking of the anarchist world, Joe, your station mate over there called into my show a couple times this week. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you gotta check out the archives.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Yeah, I think we might have even got Craig flustered enough to drop an F-bomb on air. I'm not sure. Not me. I kind of stayed out of it, but Joe, I think Joe got him flustered enough to drop an F-bomb on air, I think. I haven't listened to the archive yet, but on air I thought it was.
That's good, and that's the guy that you do the co-hosting with for one of your shows, right?
Yeah, for my show, Who's Right, Who's Nuts, which is on 6 Eastern every night, Monday through Friday. Anyway, go ahead.
Nice little plug there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to, this is originally what I wanted to try and do with you, but I got to say, this is nothing against you, man, but this guy is just rattling some cages. I think me and you think too similar to each other, and me and him are polar opposites on a lot of issues and a lot of listeners too. He's been getting his licks from the listeners. They've been calling in and giving him a hard time too.
Oh boy, your guys' listeners?
Yeah.
Oh man.
He's so far right wing. I call him neocon on the air.
Oh jeez. On air? Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's the neocon. I'll call into his show and do the same thing, too.
Oh, boy. See, I'm gonna have to get in here for one of these days for that, because it'd be interesting to have me in him.
Good time. Yeah, you're missing a good time. They're good shows, man. They really are. I was talking to him a couple days ago about having like a roundtable type of show where I was thinking it would be me, the alleged libertarian,
mm-hmm.
Craig, the alleged neocon, you, the alleged commie, but you know, we get into that in a minute, and then of course here the conspiracy theorist. When CT gets his crap together,
yeah,
have all four of us on for 2 hours, and just do like a roundtable thing, maybe before your show Friday nights, you know.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know how CT's schedule is working out. I gotta wait to hear back from him. Once
right,
I do,
yeah,
though, we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, that's
we
cool.
May
that's
actually
cool.
Have to move the Friday show to another day, and might actually even have to do a morning show, which would kind of suck, but we'll see what happens.
Coffee with the commie, huh?
There you go. That's a good morning show. Coffee with the commie.
Hey, if you use that, I get a nickel off every time somebody says that. Oh man, it's good to have you here, man. You know, we don't get a chance to talk too often on the air over here on Freedomizer, but
yeah,
we do have a chance to have some pretty good conversations over on False Flag Radio.
Yeah, we do, man. We have a lot of good conversations over there. It's sometimes, man. Sometimes they'll take a turn for the worse, but you know, other times, you know, we stay on topic, and there's just real good discussions and debates that we have over there.
Yeah, a lot of times it does take a turn for the worse. I hesitate to mention this, but it came up last night or the night before last on my show. Somebody had said that I had an unhealthy obsession with Sarah Palin, And then that goes back to something I said on False Flag Radio. I think the first or second time I was on the show, on your guys' show Friday night. Do you remember that?
No. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. We didn't get into details about that.
We can't get into details on it here.
No, you just have to check out the archive. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's kind of a no-no in radio to kind of tease like that, I guess. Oh, well, check out the archive anyway.
It's good stuff, man.
So how is Joe's show doing over on False Flag?
You know, I kind of feel like a butt because
I missed it last night.
Yesterday he was supposed to have a show. However, I didn't wake up in time because I work overnight. So I did not wake up in time for his show yesterday, and he can't run his own switchboard. I don't know why, but he can't run his own switchboard, so I ended up doing it for him, and I just could not wake up yesterday. So I kind of feel like a putz for that, but today we go back on the air. So, and I'll try and make up for it to Joe, see if we can schedule him again sometime this week.
Yeah, that's cool. I think my co-host Craig wants to call into his show.
To Joe's show?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, that's that would be an interesting conversation, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. And on your station, too, on False Flag Radio, on that network, it's rated R.
Yeah.
It would definitely be a much more livelier conversation, to put it that way, livelier over on False Flag Radio.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm checking out your guys' chat room here, and Doc DLB in the chat room said that will be ugly, and I'd have to agree with him. I think Joe would tear him apart. I really do.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
And in a kind of sick way,
yeah.
I kind of hope so.
Oh, boy. You know, I have the story. Go ahead.
Go for it, Jay.
Oh, I was going to say, I have the story that I don't know if you want to get into it. I just saw it this morning, and I put it in the news file. that's funny. Anyway, I'm going to put it into the chat room. And it talks about dog poop powering park lights. I don't know if you want to get into it or not, or if just saying that is just enough to steer clear of it. I don't know. We'll let you make the call, Tommy.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I don't know why I always seem to spring these stories on you when I have you on, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know
always
why.
Seem to hit with the weirdest stories possible. And I don't know
well,
why.
Well, I didn't... I just ran across it this morning, and I was like,
the prison thing.
Oh yeah, the condom machines in prison.
yeah, that's what you hit me with last time, and now you've got dog poop powering things. So I don't know about you, man.
This wasn't intended for you per se. It was just in the news file, and I was going to bring it up at some point when I was on the air. And so I figured, me and the comic could probably have a couple minutes of laughs about this story if we wanted to.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, why don't you go ahead and read a little bit of the article there, Jay? Why not? Let's hit it.
All right, yeah, as soon as I go ahead and post your guys' link into the chat room, because Leah says she's going to check it out. She said she is fairly warned of False Flag. Sounds wild and fun. So I'm going to go ahead and put your link in the chat. I think that's
it.
Yeah,
go for it.
Cool. All right, let's get into that story. Since she said she's fairly warned, it'd be cool to have some familiar faces over there listening. All right. Dog poop powers park lights. Basically what they're doing, it's a project called Park Spark. And it's funded through MIT and... with the city of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Anyway, what they do is it encourages their dog owners to collect their dog waste in these special biodegradable bags and to throw it into a digester. And it's basically an airtight cylindrical container where the feces are broken down. Anyway, not to get too technical into it, when it's broken down, it releases methane. Well, anyway, they're using this methane to light a flame, and the guy who's conceptualizing this, basically, he wants to get public input on the best use for the flame that they're going to be, or the power, after they harness the methane. And I don't know about you, man, but I don't want to be around doggy poop burners. Are you there? Eh, probably not. All right. Yeah, Tommy's still there. He's just having a little issue with his phone. But that's okay. Since this is going to be a dead air anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take the top of the hour break. And we'll come back in about 3 minutes, guys. And it looks like I'll be covering the next hour here on Freedomizer Radio. So that's cool. You guys are stuck with me for a few. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Hey, you, listening to the show. Have you thought about having your own show? Wondering what you have to do to become a Freedomist? How about sending an application to Freedomizer Radio? Freedomizer Radio is debuting a new show, so who's the next Freedomizer? Submit an email to proof@freedomizerradio.com, and maybe you have what it takes to be the next Freedomizer. So who's the next Freedomizer starts Tuesday, August 17th, and will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on Freedomizer Radio. Good luck, hopeful freedomist.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Join me, Mr. Britt, on the Mr. Britt Show on Freedomizer Radio. Every Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 9 p.m. Central European Time. I'll cover the stories in a way the mainstream media doesn't.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses? when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else. Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
All right, Freedomizers, welcome back to Freedomizer Radio. I am Jay. And it's just a heads up real quick. If you want to catch Bob Chapman on the Proof Negative show, that's the second Tuesday of every month, and you just missed him. But you can catch him in the archives from this past Tuesday. So I have the commie on the line with me. And for those of you who don't know who the commie is, he has a show on False Flag Radio, and it's called The Commie and the Conspiracy Theorist. So before I bring the commie on, I got something for you. All right, commie, you're on. Well, hey, there you go. Uh-oh. There we go. Wow.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I know. That was terrible. That was
terrible. I bought that. I might want to steal that clip from you.
Okay. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. I'm still waiting on you to make me a PG-rated promo for your guys' shows over there to play over here.
Yeah, yeah. When I can get a PG one. Well, we have a PG one made, kind of. But, I mean, you guys have the Gopher Sauce commercial, and that kind of throws a little promo in at the end of it. But,
yeah. This is actually what I was looking for. This is what I was looking for.
Nice.
Yeah, that was supposed to be for you. Yeah, that was supposed to be for you. I hit the wrong one. But
yeah, well,
anyway.
The ta-da thing worked just as fine. So,
yeah. That's great. That's great, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so what is going on with the commie and the conspiracy theorists? What is the topic tonight? And is CT going to call in, or as you guys call him over there, tinfoil?
Well, tonight actually is not the
coming. Oh, no, that's right. That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to be there. But today I have a show that goes on air, and it's my solo show. It's the show that I run on False Flag Radio that's pretty much all about anarchism. That's the show that I have going on today. And then tomorrow is The Commie and the Conspiracy Theorist, but it's slowly turning into just The Commie. So,
The Commie and Joe and Jay, and it's been kind of a group effort over there on Fridays.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
For a couple weeks, especially when the troll called. That was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, that was good fun. That was good fun. I can't. I hope we get another one soon. I really do, because I would really just love to spend the entire. I hope he calls at the beginning of the show too, because I would really just love to spend the whole. I stopped myself there. I'm doing all right. I would really just like to spend the whole hour, just ransacking this little troll with everything that I got. You did a pretty good job of that last time.
Yeah. That was actually pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, we haven't been bothered since then over here by them, except one time, and it was just in the chat room, so that's pretty good.
Oh, really? Not bad. Yeah. See, the funny thing is that I went to that little Bill Wagner crew website, and I had sent them a message telling them, come on to the show. We'll let you on. We'll let you talk. We'll let you say whatever you little, can I say idiots? Yeah. Whatever you little idiots would like to come over and do. Come on, bring it over here. Here's the call-in number. Here's the name of the show. Look it up. Do your homework and call in. And nothing.
That doesn't surprise me at all, man. That doesn't surprise me at all.
I gave him an open invitation and nothing. That was it. I haven't heard a single thing since. Insane. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
But,
I'm just looking.
But I got the show going on today. I would say with everything that I have planned for the show today, come in with an open mind, please.
yeah, definitely. Definitely.
For those of you who do know my political ideology, I'm actually starting the show today with the national anthem. So that should raise all of your curiosity right off the bat if you know anything of my ideology.
Well, go ahead and share your ideology with us over here.
Over at Freedomizer? All right.
Yeah,
maybe
go ahead and talk about it, man. But
talk about
what you are, you know, what your ideology is. I found it interesting, and remember, I grew up as a staunch Republican.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Well, now, I mean, I can break it down as simple as I can, and if anybody has any questions, you know, feel free to call in or, you know, just post them in the chat room. I always love to answer questions. I am called the commie for a reason. I am what the title, if you really want to pin one on me, is called an anarcho-communist. What that is, it's a mixture between anarchism and communism all bundled into one. And some people say, well, how does that work? Well, it's really hard to do this without giving a two-hour-long explanation, but I'm pretty much going to break it down into that. What I see as a perfect fit for society is, yes, I do not believe in a government. Yes, I would like to get rid of the government. And I would like to go off of a more communal type living where everything is in a more voluntary type of individualist type of society. It's hard to explain within a couple sentences. You can't really, you know, just say, well, I believe this. It's really a whole, not only, you know, a political ideology, but, you know, also an ideology as far as morals go as well. Because, I mean, I'm not necessarily a religious guy at all, so... When not only does anarchism set up my basis for my political beliefs, but it also sets up my basis for moral beliefs as well.
Well, go ahead and get into it, man. Why not? I mean, we're here for I got some time to kill, bro.
All right. Well, what do you want me to get into?
Whatever you want, man. I mean, however best you feel you can explain, you know, what you're trying to explain. You said you can't get into it in two or three sentences, so you know, go ahead and take a crack at it, man.
All right, man. Well, it's hard to explain. I mean, it's basically what it is. It's a breakdown of society. I'm fairly critical on society. I don't necessarily go along with the norms that everybody has. I am not by any means, and this is why it's so interesting to have me on Freedomizer Radio. I am by no means a patriot. I actually sort of resent the idea of patriotism. That kind of goes along with the anarchism thing. And the anarchism thing is basically a system in where nobody – and the libertarians love the idea. It's just sometimes they don't quite make the connection because the whole basic premise of anarchism is that you have, you know, this free and open society, even more free than I would say than in a libertarian society. And it literally is just absolute 100% true – freedom. And it works off of the hard thing is that you can't really explain, you know, every type of anarchism because I'm not familiar with it. There isn't just, you know, the word anarchist is not directed towards, you know, a single ideology. I mean, you have, you know, people who are real big into the, you know, anarcho-primitivist stuff. The anarcho-primitivist stuff is a whole, you know, is a whole week's worth of explanation in itself, but what that pretty much does in a sum it up kind of all in a generalization, it goes much deeper than this, but it's a more primitive lifestyle to begin with, and they're mainly anti-civ, and anti-civ is short for anti-civilization, so they're not real big on the whole civilization thing. Now, I don't go down that path. You know, it's cool that, you know, if they want to go that way, sure, have fun with it, but it's not my thing. I tend to go with more of the syndicalism or communist or socialist or whatever little, you know, hyphen you want to put on there. That's what I tend to go down. And what that basically is, I can explain my type, but understand that this is not, you know, in not everybody's perspective. This is just my perspective. If you ask somebody else who proclaims to be an anarchist, you can get a completely different story on how the society is set up. But that's the beautiful thing, is that here's another thing most libertarians get a kick out of, is that it's all based upon the section or community that they get to decide how things work. So for example, let's say that I had this small plot of land. I would want to run it in the way that I see fit, and I would want to live with like-minded people so that, you know, we all have a same basic idea of how we want to live. And then, you know, but somebody else can go off and do their own thing. And as long as they're not coming over and messing with, you know, everything that I've got going and everything that I see as a perfect society, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to care. If you want to go live off in the woods and live in a tree, hey, more power to you, buddy. That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Just so long as, you know, you're not bothering anybody else, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, like I said before over on your show, a couple times on different shows over there, I kind of look at myself as, and you always question, well, how the heck can I be, you know, this, but I always say I'm an anarcho-libertarian, because there's some things that, some of your views and some views of the anarchists that I do tend to agree with, or at least understand. So, like I said, I'm kind of learning as I go here, as far as the whole anarchist movement. But if anyone has any calls for the commie, you don't mind, do you?
No, man, bring them on. Bring on the callers. I always love to have debates with everybody.
Okay, yeah, the number is 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. I know at least one of our friends here in the chat room is a listener to you guys, and maybe I can get him to call in if he wants.
Are you talking about Doc DLB?
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah. No, he's a very frequent listener to the show, so he pretty much knows what's going on. I'm sure this is all just, you know, old news to him. He's like, yeah, I've heard this shit. Oh, sorry.
Well, that's okay. We can let that slide once in a while.
Yep. Okay, sorry. My bad.
Right.
You know how we do over on False Flag Radio, and you know how I generally speak in everyday life.
Not a big deal, man. We can let it slide. I think I've dropped a couple myself, so.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The FCC is not going to come and fine us $250,000.
I don't think that they are. And if they are, then we've got big issues.
Yeah.
The second FCC, I will go to prison because with the amount of, you know, language and vulgarity that goes on False Flag Radio, whoo, I'm thinking somewhere a million.
Now, Patriot Craig in the chat room says, anarchy is the law of lawlessness. Would you agree with that?
Well, it depends on what he means. If you're saying that in a derogatory form, no, I wouldn't agree with it. If you're saying that in a positive form, sure, I'd agree with it. Depends on how he's saying it. Now, I know Patriot Greg, and I know his stance, and just by the name Patriot Greg, it kind of gives it away that it would be in a derogatory format. So I don't necessarily know what he means on that. So I would say, hey, Patriot Greg, either, you know, call in, man, or, you know, kind of expound on that in the chat room a little bit. Let me clarify some of these things for you.
Yeah, cool, definitely. One thing also I'd like to mention real quick is we're kind of, over here at Freedomizer, we're really branching out into a whole bunch of different areas. So your views at one time were probably shunned or even laughed at over here, I got to say.
Yeah.
But the direction that Proof is trying to take the network in, he's trying to make it, he wants to have a variety of different types of programs and shows. So I think, you know, you coming on Freedomizer Radio in the future wouldn't be so such an outrageous thought, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Changed from what it was.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's interesting the change that I'm seeing Freedomizer go through, because you guys are definitely a whole lot more open than I like to call them the militia. When the militia was here, that I wouldn't have been welcome here when the militia was here.
Oh. Dude, I have a damn neocon as a co-host I have a Neil kind of the co-host, and we have fun with it, man. Me and him are pretty good friends, and we have fun with it. And plus, there's a college football rivalry there too. So it's a good, entertaining show, informative show. And we talk about solutions and stuff. But, yeah, so Freedomizer is definitely trying to open up to new audiences. And I think the best way to do that.
I can actually stomach to listen to Freedomizer now. So, and before,
that's
trust
great.
Me, I couldn't. I was just like, ugh. Oh, this is cool. Now, I see that Patriot Greg has kind of gone on to what he was saying in the chat room, and he says, lawlessness equals chaos. Give me an example, Greg. I would have to disagree with you there. I don't necessarily understand what you mean by lawlessness. It's not necessarily, you know, everybody running around throwing bricks in windows and, you know, throwing malt of cocktails at all
right.
over the place. It's not necessarily. I think you have a misconception of what I mean by that term, and it's not. You're not the first person. I don't blame you for it. I'm not saying, oh, you're ignorant and you're whatever. I'm just saying that you have the same misconception of what it is that most people do. And hey, you have questions, and I can clear up that misconception of what it is. I mean, Jay, I'm sure you had a lot of misconceptions of my belief system when you heard the term anarcho-communist.
Yeah, of course. I thought it was going to be Wild Wild West or even worse, Mad Max type of society. But that there are some people that do think that on the anarchist side of the way of thinking. But there's other people like you who don't believe that in that type of society.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
that kind of opened my eyes and changed a little bit. Like I said, I'm still learning.
Yeah. Okay, he says, if this is Patriot Greg in the chat room again. He says, if you have any laws in place and enforced, it is no longer anarchy. Okay, what laws exactly are you speaking of? Because I'm not understanding where these laws, I mean, okay, it's basic human rights to, you know, not kill anybody, you know, not trying to find a, beat somebody up. It's these are just basic things that are, you know, common logic and definitely throughout the, you know, the anarchist moral. You know, you can't step on anybody. It's a non-hierarchical system, so you can't step on anybody, or you become the enforcer and then you become the problem. So laws. I'm not necessarily sure what laws it is that would, you know, be a worry in anarchistic society. So, I don't know. Expound upon that and anarchy cannot imply the existence and enforcement of any law or rule. Okay. Greg, I would really, really, you know, encourage you to call in here, because it's hard to have this type of discussion when somebody's just typing away in a chat room. If you don't want to, hey, that's cool. I can keep reading off here, but I would definitely advise you to call in, and I would love to have this conversation with you. I'm not downgrading you because you think a different way. I'm just saying, you know, I think that you are misunderstanding how this society is structured and works. So call in, man. 347-324-3704. You got anything to say, Jay? I don't mean to hijack your show here, man.
Oh, you know what, man? Go right ahead, dude. This isn't really my show. My show doesn't start until 6 Eastern, until 8 Eastern. So right now, another shameless plug. Right now, we're just killing time, my friend. There was supposed to be another host on for a while, but he ran into some issues, so we're just killing time.
Hey, cool, man. Well, that's cool. Well, do you want to chime in here, man? I mean, I'd like to see what have I taught you about my political belief system, because I know your views have changed.
Hey, you're not a total whack job, first of all. Because the first time I listened to False Flag Radio, I was like, what the hell is up with these guys? And And that's putting it nicely because I'm on Freedomizer here, so I got to watch my language. But
yeah, yeah.
I was thinking, what the hell? And I didn't listen to you guys for like another month or so. And that's when Tinfoil started filling in over here and doing some work over here on Freedomizer, that I started to listen to you guys more. Because I heard Tinfoil on with Travis interviewing, I think it was Burmese.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was on with Travis interviewing Jason Burmese. So that's when I started listening to you guys again. So it's probably been, about, I don't know, 2 months or so, 2.5 months that I've been listening solid to False Flag. And I learned something every week. Last week, I learned how to spell and the definition of syllogism when I tried to call into Joe's show. I just noticed my Buckeye Neocon co-host just checked into the chat room. He's a WAAU Network.
Oh, okay, cool.
That is Craig Shaw here.
Neocon guy you were talking about?
Yes, that is my co-host. You know what? He's on the line, man.
Wow. Oh, is he on the line?
Should we bring him on or just let him wait? This guy is on the radio so much. Yeah, this guy's on the radio so much, I don't know how he still has a voice left, and he talks so damn much, he doesn't even breathe when he talks. So I just want to let you know, we're going to bring my co-host on, Craig Shaw, the Neocon. My friend, how are you?
How you doing, Jay? I will use the term friend loosely, Jay, and he is an associate. Isn't that how you refer to your distasteful friends? So,
yes, we are associates. Okay. Also on the line is I have a good friend of mine, the Commie, from False Flag Radio, and I don't know how much of the conversation you heard, but we were
talking about... I heard absolutely nothing. Logged in, and thank God I did not have to sit through anybody who calls themselves the Commie, listen to them speak. However, I am intrigued, and catch me up.
All right. I can't believe I'm talking to a neocon, so, I mean, come on, man. We're on the
only
same page.
Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Only on Freedomizer Radio would you find an anarcho-communist in a neocon talking in the same conversation. That or maybe on False Flag Radio, possibly,
right,
too.
Right. Neocon is, neocon would be Jay's adjective that he would place before my name. I would not actually use that term because it's not really accurate, but we'll roll with it. So,
what would you, let me get your take on that. What would you call yourself?
Well, actually, I kind of talked about it on my show today. Prior to today, I'm definitely a fiscal conservative. I believe in the Constitution as it was written, not as the Supreme Court has amended it through precedent. I believe in the power of the people. And I talked about the Tea Party today, and because we've allowed ourselves to sort of be divided among, as our representatives would like us to be divided along, Republican, Democrat. But with all of the different views that we hold, can we really isolate ourselves to Republican or Democrat? That's really not an accurate picture. And with the Tea Party, what I like about the movement is the fact that, they have completely disrupted our Republican Party as they've defined it. The Republican Party of today has absolutely nothing to do with Republican values or any kind of platform that it truly should be founded on. But they've changed the game. I mean, they have taken these quote unquote Tea Party candidates and they have crushed the GOP-supported candidate, and I think that's great because it's a reflection of the people. Because you have Democrat, individuals that would classify themselves as Democrats involved with this Tea Party. It's probably undoubtedly a majority conservative, but that really isn't the point. you know, the point is that they want the government to get its spending under control. They want it to be, they want our representatives to represent the people. They want them to be responsible with our money. And if you can't agree with those three things, then I don't care what you identify yourself with, you're missing the boat. You've missed the whole point of the United States of America, because it's founded upon freedom and the idea that the people have the power and they allow individuals to represent them. And it's been sort of flipped. So I think the Tea Party movement's great. No matter what you've allowed the media to sort of portray them as, because they're not nut jobs. They're people like me and you, you know? And the other thing about it is that it's sort of been, you see a lot of families. It's not just, you know, adults. You see families at these events. You see, you know, so people are figuring out that we have to ingrain our children with a sense of a political view. And I sort of equate it to our faith. You know, you in our morals that we ingrain in our children. You know, we sort of plant that first seed. Now, just because I raise my children as conservatives, that's, you know, I've got their attention first. Now, they may grow up not to hold those views. That's fine. That's their choice. But I have their attention first. If we don't, you know, ingrain some sort of political view or foundation in them, somebody will. And we, you know, as parents, we need to engage them in these events. I think that's great. When I was a campaign manager for a candidate north of me, I was excited. You know, a lot of times you don't see children, but when we showed up at an event and you've seen families there, you know, that's what we should do. It shouldn't be hands off. You know, I mean, you know, if we don't instill something, somebody will. So that's my take on it. You know, I don't have ill will towards individuals with different political views, but it's our generations that we're not engaging them. And you've got some individuals with some pretty off brand. You know, it's just insanity what we have gotten to. But I think the last year, I really kind of excited about seeing people take action, and that's really what it's about, not being complacent.
Okay. I got
you. I don't know. Does that describe? I'm trying to do it. I could talk forever, but I just want to. That's sort of my take. I don't know, my 10-minute take or something. I don't know.
All right. No. I pretty much got you summed up. I pretty much get where you're coming from, and so here's my take on the whole deal. I would say that, you know, power in the hands of the people is I would believe in more than your typical conservative. I don't know, Jay. What would you say about that? I would like to get your take on that. Jay?
He's confused. You're gonna have to talk a little longer and allow him to catch up.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was letting you two go at it. I had myself muted. I was trying to take care of something else.
Okay. Well, no.
He never really has anything innovative or of value to add. When we're on the air, I find that callers are more engaging and enlightened. So.
Wow. That's a low blow.
That's all right. I would expect nothing less from a neocon.
I'll keep going here then. I would say that, you know, within my ideologies, the representative republic that the United States has to offer does not put enough power in the hands of the people. I can't for the life of me see how a representative democracy is even close to putting the power in the hands of the people, because sure, they get to represent, you know, they get to elect the representatives, but that's my big pick with representative republic is that, you know, I mean, sure, they get to elect these people, but does that person really hold all the, you know, does that person really represent how each person that voted for them ticks? You cannot say that there's been a single candidate that everybody when they voted for him, they agreed with every last thing that they had to say. There's going to be little disagreements, so I don't like that. That's why I stray myself away from the representative democracy, or representative republic, sorry, because with that type of system, I don't think that anybody is fairly, you know, taken into consideration with all of their beliefs, all of their morals. So I tend to stray away from that.
Hey, I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to cut you off, but I don't want to get too deep in this because, I want to go further, but I have a question. So I honestly, I'm not trying to cut you off, but I don't want this point here that you're at to get lost. I think it's a really important issue, which is the very point where we start to stray from our point of view, mm-hmm. which is that, okay, so what I would challenge you on or ask you is, okay, the type of system that we have, which is a representative republic, so we elect individuals. It's not a democracy. It's not majority rules. It's, you know, we elect individuals. So and your position is that using this process, that everyone isn't fairly representative. So right here, what's the alternative? Because a true democracy means that we would vote down the line on every single issue, which would be cumbersome. We virtually would never be able to defend ourselves because we could not expedite a system in place to decide to go to war. Or defend ourselves or in any case, shape, or form. I mean, you're not allowing the only way that you can truly have an effective government is by having some sort of representation, and it's not going to represent everybody's particular opinions, but that's why we have the guidelines of the Constitution. And we have strayed away from those guidelines, and that is the result of individuals not being diligent when they vote. There's no consequences to irresponsibility in government. And what we have found this year, and it's a small stride, but it's a small point, but it's a huge thing because for the first time, we have seen the quote-unquote establishment effectively countered because we now have six Tea Party, supposed Republican candidates, who were not supported by the GOP, did not have the money that the GOP candidate had, but put their feet on the ground and have found a way to garner the support, and they've won their primaries. And then if you go to that's in Congress. Then if you go to the governors, there's a long list of the same thing that has happened. So people are asserting their power. It's not that our system is flawed. It's that we have not been utilizing the system. We have become complacent and allowed this ruling class to form. And either we can restore it or it falls apart. So say it falls apart. We're going to go hypothetical. We just completely collapses. Can you describe the system that you're talking about that would allow allow what you're saying as far as how would you put in place a system where everyone has a say on every particular issue? Because that's really what you're describing. And I don't understand how you could put that system together. You would virtually have anarchy.
Well, depending on your definition of anarchy, yeah, that's what I strive for is an anarchistic society. Now, when I say that everybody has their way to, you know, to have the say in what goes on, I can answer that for you in just one word, consensus. Uh-huh. Democracy is a failure, absolutely 100% failure, because that allows the majority of people to rule over the minority of people.
Correct.
And I cannot for the life of me also go along with a system like that. To have democratic-type ideals installed in a system, yes, I think that democratic ideals need to be enforced, yes. I mean, not necessarily enforced is the wrong word. Put into place, yes, because democratic views are a good thing, you know, having everybody let them have their say, but it only goes about that far. Because I also advocate a non-hierarchical society so that you can't have one group of people going over another group of people. You can't have that, no matter what the issue. I don't care what the issue is. If you don't have consensus on an issue, the issue should not be it, because that means that there is a small group of people or, you know, maybe a larger group of people that is going to be affected by a change. Give me something for example. Let's take the drug thing into play here.
Uh-huh.
If somebody, you know, wants to go smoke pot on their back porch and there's a group of people telling them that they can't do that, no, you cannot have that within an anarchistic society because there's a small group of people that are enforcing it on another group of people. You don't have to – nobody, you know, is holding a bong to your mouth saying you better smoke this. No, let people do their own thing. As long as it isn't affecting you in some way, shape, or form, I would say that you have no right to say that somebody can or cannot do something. If it's affecting you, yes, you would be able to say, this is affecting me, here's how, what can we all do to change this?
That's a perfect example. Under our Constitution as it is written, you would have that because it is a free society. We are free. We have freedom, but we lost control of the system about the time that Teddy Roosevelt took office because he had these social engineering ideas, and that's where we started. It was a pivot point. Is that a good and accurate? We pivoted. We were going. You know, we had a free society. We had a free market. We had capitalism in place. It was working. People were becoming wealthy. But at that point, all of a sudden it shifted, and we started to get this notion that the federal government knew best. That's really when that took off, and we've shifted away from the idea of freedom. We have the tools to, from what you're describing. I mean, you're not describing anarchy to me. Where your argument breaks down and has failure is you say that you cannot have a hierarchy. You have to have a hierarchy, but the hierarchy has to be accessible by all individuals. And we have that. We have poor individuals that climb the social ladder. Because without a hierarchy, you have no classes, so everyone is virtually the same. So you're actually describing sort of a socialism. But socialism actually ends up with only two classes. You have a ruling class. So you're trying to counter human nature, and it's not possible. You have to have a system which has a hierarchy. The key is to have it accessible by all. And do you get what I'm saying there? I mean, because our system, it's hierarchy, and it's the only one like it. It was the first system that said through being born, you are not entitled. Now, you may have a jump start. That's just a fact. That's capitalism. Okay, if I'm born to a wealthy family, I'm probably going to have a jump start there. But that doesn't mean the individual that was born destitute, you know, FYI, Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Climb that ladder. You may have to dig in, but it's accessible. The hierarchy is accessible because you have to have somebody providing direction. Otherwise, you have anarchy. So that's where your argument breaks down, and it just can't work. So I don't know how can you have a civil society if you don't have somebody that's enforcing rules, and but you have to have some sort of law.
Well, sure. Go ahead. Now, here's how I can break that down for you. When you say that we need a hierarchy, I would agree with you to a certain point. But why make it a hierarchy where there's certain people at the top? If you make it a hierarchy of everybody. Everybody has direct access. That makes no sense.
Hold on. How can you have a hierarchy if everybody is at the top? That's stupid. That eliminates the hierarchy.
I understand. I said that wrong. Let me continue here.
All right. I'm not calling you stupid, by the way. I'm just.
Oh yeah. No. I know. What I'm saying is that why do you need those people at the top? I mean, do you really – can you honestly say that you as an individual need somebody telling you every step of the way what needs to be done? Do you need that as an individual?
That's not the point. What you're describing –
No.
Hold on. Back up. Because you asked me – I got your point. That we don't need the system being in – today's government, I agree, we need to return to how our government was formulated and put in place in the beginning. The government of today is not in accordance with our Constitution. So we're on the same page.
I would completely agree.
That we had, this is my point. There are individuals, and I don't know you well enough to say, but I have a notion, I've got a gut feeling that you're one of these individuals, and I'm not attacking you. But you feel like we need to find another system. We need a sort of a change. And change is the most dangerous word that has been abused for the last 50 years. We don't need a change. We need a restoration of the system that is already there. And what we see today happening is an actual – this is the best, if you want to use that word, change, we have seen in 60 years. I don't think that every – I am urging people to take a step back, okay, and look at what is happening with the Tea Party. Throw out all this BS that you have heard, okay, from the media, and just take a look at the results that they have gotten. When is the last time you heard of spending, outspending their opponent, 100 times and losing an election? What's happening? Our governors of our states, 6 seats in our, and all? No, it's a continuing struggle. And the problem is that we haven't been fighting for our freedom for the last 90 years. We've been complacently just watching it be hijacked. So, no, today we do not have – actually, our republic is not in place. If you look at the legislation that's been passed over the last 100 years and you compare that with the 10 planks of the Marxist – what the hell that – I'm sorry, the Communist Manifesto, we have communism in place.
Well, now let me interrupt you here for one quick second. Now back in time, before I, understood the flaws of the Marxist system, I do not now by any means consider myself a Marxist. However, I did before. I don't understand how – I mean, when you look at the Communist Manifesto was a very short little document that Karl Marx and Frederick Engels had written up that was basically his critique on capitalism. There was no – what we're seeing now is not a form of Marxism. Now, it is, however – a form of Leninism, yes, it is, which was a branch off of Marxism, kind of, but Marx has nothing to do with what's going on now. Would you? I don't understand where it is that people say that this is going along with the Communist Manifesto. The Communist Manifesto was strictly a critique of capitalism from Karl Marx's point of view. So, I mean, where is it in the Communist Manifesto that these things that are being put in place now are in the Communist Manifesto? Because I've read the Communist Manifesto several times, and I've actually read parts of it out on air, so people understand that there is no correlation to what's happening now to what the Communist Manifesto. And even the takeover of capitalism, Marx had said that it was the proletariat that would rise up and take over what he referred to as the ruling class, or he called them the bourgeoisie. So that's all the Communist Manifesto was. I mean, sure, he had set up certain things that were gone and that he saw that needed to be put into place, but the Communist Manifesto was strictly the way that the proletariat rise up and take over the bourgeoisie. Are you disagreeing with me there?
I don't know if Craig is disagreeing with you or not. Luckily for us, his microphone isn't working right now. I don't know what the heck's going on there. Yeah,
there he is.
There you go. Or not. Maybe it's a conspiracy.
It might be. Maybe it's the CIA.
Maybe they're trying to silence him.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, we got you
now.
No,
I can hear you. I can hear you.
All right. If you tear down capitalism, what do you replace it with?
Well, what do you mean?
It's a simple question. What do you replace it with? If we don't have capitalism, what type of structure do we have?
Well, yet another thing that I advocate for is the teardown of capitalism. And when you tear down capitalism,
are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious.
Okay, what do you replace that with? What type of economic structure do we have if we don't prescribe to capitalism?
Anarchism. Anarchism is not only a political ideology, economic system, and also a set of morals. It's also a set of morals. I mean, anarchism is not just, you know, one
so
thing.
So who's in control?
And myths.
Who's enforcing law?
Everyone.
That's bull. How do you have a system? Okay. All right. Let's put this in place. I live in a town, 20,000 people. Who's the police force?
Okay. Well, okay. Now, explain to me. Okay. So now,
who's enforcing the law?
What laws are put in place that these people are needed for? What law?
Okay.
Explain to me. What law would be put
in
place?
Here's an example because you can't wrap your head around this. Okay. Somebody robs a bank today. Who takes care of that? Are we allowed to rob banks?
Right?
Is that okay? Or do we not have banks? Do we have
no,
banks?
No bank would exist.
Oh my God! All right, I thought we were having a rational discussion. So how do we?
A rational discussion.
It's just not rational. Okay.
Explain to me.
We return to barter.
No, I would not want to return to barter. The barter system
we still have money, currency.
No, money would be non-existent as well. As far as a form of currency, and in either way, in the barter system,
so
you still have
currency. How would I get the goods and services? How would I get goods and services? Or we don't have them?
Oh no! You have goods and services, of course.
How do I pay for my internet service?
Okay. Let me break down this system for you because.
No, answer the question. How do I pay for my internet service? Explain that first.
How would you pay for your internet service? Okay, now. You need to listen.
Do I got to give them a pig or something?
No. Because that would be a barter system. I do not advocate a barter system. A barter system is just another form of currency. I mean, when you really break it down, that's all it is. Whether the currency is, you know, paper money or gold coins or, you know, pigs and chickens, it's still money. So I don't advocate a barter system.
Okay, so explain the system. Explain our form. Explain our exchange of goods and services. How would that take over? And use internet service as an example.
Use internet service as an example. Okay.
Yeah. How would I exchange? What exchange would you select in order to get my internet service?
There is no exchange that goes on because if you have an exchange, that would be a form of currency. Before you jump on that, let me explain this. Within an anarchistic society, internet probably wouldn't be around, at least for a while, until, you know, things were adapted into how things, you know, technological advances would happen there as well. I mean, I don't necessarily, you know, I don't have a, you know, a written form of how everything is supposed to happen. You know, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this.
But you're promoting the system. This is what you promote on your show?
Yes.
But how are you promoting something that you don't even know how it would work? You don't know what it...
I do know how it would work. Let's take a loaf of bread, okay?
Uh-huh. Let's take a loaf of bread. How am I going to get a loaf of bread?
Okay. So within this society, let's take that town of 10,000. Let's take even a smaller number of that, just for math purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you live in a town of, I don't know, 100 people.
Okay.
Within that town of 100 people,
that'd be
you
a
have
joke, but
Well, okay. Okay,
I know.
Really.
I'm just messing with this. So,
yeah, yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good, man. So within that village, town, whatever you want to call it, it would be a more communal type of society. And now, one thing that you got to understand is this is what I advocate. If somebody else wanted to go live under a capitalist system, fine, go do that. But the second it comes knocking on my door, we're going to have some issues. But mm-hmm.
What's stopping you from living like this?
What's stopping me from living? The government.
No, they're not.
The FBI, the feds.
No, they're not. This is the system. This is called the Amish. This is how the Amish live.
No.
The Amish don't live.
Live.
I mean, this is basically how they live. They don't. They have petitioned the government. They on their tax issues and things. They've created basically a communal living.
Oh, sure. And they have a lot of aspects of a communal living. However, look at something like Waco. They don't have any issues busting down doors and shooting people. And that's why I don't – and in many ways, I do live like this. I live in a very communal setting. In my household, it's a very communal setting. We all, take part in this. We expect nothing, we expect no currency exchange. Do I work?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you work in – you work for currency, right?
Well, sure, because I have to. In order to survive in an urban setting, yes, I have to. I mean, eventually when I can get out into a more rural setting, no, I will not work for currency. What's stopping you?
Because what's stopping you from, heading to the mountains or whatever?
Well,
and I'm
right
asking
now,
curious. I mean, if you want to truly be ingrained in this and remove yourself from currency, you could do it.
Well, sure. As of right now, there is nothing particularly that stops me, unless the feds are coming and knocking up my door.
The feds aren't going to stop you from buying a. If you had a plot of land, you could live off of the grid. You could.
How do I obtain that plot of land?
Huh?
How do I obtain that plot of land?
I mean, if you bought it. It's yours.
If I bought it, sure. Do I have the money to buy a plot of land? No. I'm not criticizing. I'm not trying to criticize you here. I'm just stating
I'll
the reason.
I'll sell you an acre I'll sell you an acre for $6,500 right now. I'm just saying. But once you buy that piece of land, you do with it, how you live, nothing forces you. To have a car, nothing forces you to have a cell phone. Nothing forces you. You are not forced to buy into any of these things. And why I use the Amish, true Amish. Now, majority of them have moved to Mennonite. I live in Ohio, and I'm sure we spend a lot of time. We buy a lot majority of our house is actually Amish made stuff. So you understand what I'm saying. So. Some of them, but those are mostly done by the Mennonite. But there are true Amish sects out there that they don't utilize the electricity.
Did you just say Amish sects?
Sects. Sections. Sects.
I know. I'm trying
but
to.
But I'm saying nothing. Nothing is hearing you. But I would challenge you. That a good reason is because you like – do you not like – you like the Internet, right?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't like these things. I am saying at the same time, however,
I don't – How has they slowed down your life? How has capitalism affected you personally?
Me personally?
Yeah. What don't you like about it?
Look at what the system has done not only to me personally but everybody personally.
I want to talk about you. I'm intrigued and want to understand what has drawn you to say that capitalism has infringed upon your freedom somehow. So what has it done to you in your day-to-day life or in your outlook? What has drawn you to say capitalism is just destroying everything?
Okay, well, now, one thing that you got to take into consideration is I don't think just for me. I think for the well-being of everybody. But
I understand that, but everything starts within ourselves. That's what I
sure.
I believe that. Everything starts within ourselves, and then we work out. That's the only way we make change, or that's the only way that we have progress, is you start from within. Okay, this thing has screwed my life up. I want to make a change. That's where everything starts at, is within oneself. Otherwise, okay. We would not take on causes. So.
No, and I got you. And I understand.
I want to know, from your standpoint, I'm talking to, what's your first name? I swear I'm not recording.
I go by Kami.
Okay, Kami. All right. I just want to know how to refer to you. So in Kami's life, what drives Kami to say capitalism has to be tore down? Go.
Okay. Whew. Let me sum this all up here. Okay. Now, I've grown up I've seen the benefits of capitalism. You know, the benefits of capitalism that everybody talks about. You know, I grew up starting off in a real lower class family, but you know, my parents worked their way up through the system, and you know, most of my later teen life, I was in a upper middle class family. You know, there was never a worry about after they had gone up in the system. You know, there was never a worry about food. You know, these things were just seen as being there. My issue with capitalism came in when I see those few years that I was living under this real lower middle class type of living, and I see these people.
Okay.
Hey, Kami.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm following you. Okay, so I'm not cutting you off to be rude or anything. Okay.
No, that's cool.
So,
go for it.
So you grew up, okay, you said an upper middle class. Make sure I'm right here.
Well, I grew up when I was younger, in my younger ages, it was definitely a lower class family. But my mom had worked her ever loving.
Okay. Okay. So your early childhood years, you would be more of a poorer class. You still had food. I mean, you were bare necessities. Is that accurate? I'm not trying to.
Well, yes, sometimes bare necessities.
Okay.
I mean,
but you guys moved up.
I'm still alive today. How about that?
Okay. I'm just saying. So, but in your later childhood years, maybe junior high school, you guys had moved up.
Yeah.
We're living better. Okay. Now, when you said, because this is where I want to clarify. So then you said, now when you truly started to take an adverse look at capitalism, came after you were on your own and were living at a lower class. Is that what?
No. My beef with capitalism came in even when I was in my older teens. It was actually when I had gone up in the system that I started to form my critique on capitalism. It wasn't when I was in the lower
Okay, that's why I wanted to clarify.
I just wanted
the way you said it kind of sounded like, okay, you moved up, but then you took a crash down. So that's why I wanted to clarify there. Okay, I get you. I'm following you. Okay? Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I want to clarify.
I actually do mean to cut you both off. I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. And Kami, if you want to stick around, man, this is a great conversation, dude. I'm loving this. Craig, you're welcome here too.
I'll be here after the break, man. If he wants to continue after the break, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
awesome,
definitely.
All right, Craig, go ahead and grab your little bottle of oxygen, catch your breath. Kami, hit the bathroom, do what you got to do. I'm gonna grab a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And we'll be back in about 4 minutes, guys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, can you make it about five? So I can.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
More. All right, more time away from the neocon, the better.
All right. Yep.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes, guys. Thanks for listening to Freedomizer Radio.
Finally, this devil gave in. If you can't see me, to pump up the volume. Nick, Donald, Stan Laden, Osama, Obama, bring up something real, legalized. Everything on a bong hit is as blunt.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking.
On second thoughts, I'm back to fight. All they do is criticize. Watch us more, feed us live. Halliburton, FEMA camp. Opium, contraband. Global warming, oil scams. Energy now is on demand. From Tennessee to the Rio Grande. Their chip is dead. She had a foolish lung, our air is damn. Mercury poison in the plan. Thank God it's sucker bad. Believing all the ads. Get up and take stands. Maybe you'll ask when they call the draft. Internal cover-ups. Leave a page to suck it shut. Some call it brother love. This is just all the ducks. Have you all just had enough? How much more do we have to snuff? This place is in the dust. Act quick or we might combust.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction.
World outside, survival, bitch or die, enemies of genocide. They strike us down with lightning rod. They try to play like God, as if it was their job. It's all a false facade. Go plug it in your iPod. Secret societies, they put their eye on me. Poach me like ivory. Invade my privacy, sun fiber optically. That's my property. I'll make a mockery. Or if I go on a shopping spree, my life is gold imported. I'm not a supporter. They think they are immortal. Stay up at my little fortress. Get the forest at my water. Drink enough, it will destroy us. The fact has been recorded. Wake up, folks, the new world order.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly. Take the package, get some satisfaction.
If you have not checked out the Proof Negative show, this is what you're missing. If we cover the news, the mainstream media is too scared to cover. The mainstream media wants us to cover how many touchdowns in the latest hockey game, which celebrities don't wear underwear, and the top 10 ways how to spice up your goulash. Sorry, mainstream media, humanity is at stake. I don't have time for mainstream news. The Proof Negative Show, here on Freedomizer Radio, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern.
Hello, you freedom-loving freaks. Adjust your tinfoil and join me, the conspiracy theorist, live here at Freedomizer Radio.
But Jeb, I'm glad to see you survived the fall civilization. You look a little hungry. Did you put any food in that bug-out bag?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Well, you know, there's gophers in that field over there. You like gopher?
I like gopher.
You know there's 25 ways to cook a gopher.
Is there?
In fact, there is, but there's no way to cook a gopher that's better than a little Travenow 1 gopher dipping barbecue sauce. Solves a real man's appetite. Got barbecue sauce in that bag of yours?
Nope.
That's all right, I do. That's right, just go on over there, get us a gopher, and we'll have some of that fantastic, yummy, tasty, Travenow 1 gopher dipping barbecue sauce.
This is a completely fictional commercial and no way indicates that Trevin Isle 1 does actually make a Gopher Dipping Barbecue Sauce. If Trevin Isle 1 does ever decide to make a Gopher Dipping Barbecue Sauce, False Flag Radio fully expects the royalties from the brush that you tune into the Commie and the Conspiracy Theorist exclusively on False Flag Radio.
Howdy, folks. Benford T. Slaughter with the Slaughter School of Military Science. We are now enrolling for fall semester for 8 through 11-year-old children, boys and girls. Folks, we have a war against terrorism going on in this country. We have a war against illegal aliens. We have a war against drugs. We have a war against high cholesterol, just to name a few. Uncle Sam needs your kids to continue this war. Send them to the Slaughter School of Military Science, and in 9 months, you will have the most efficient killing machine this country has ever produced. I'm not going to lie to you. There will be pain. There will be suffering. But if your children are properly trained, they will come home alive. Give us a call at 1-800-U-KILL. 1-800-U-KILL. The Slaughter School of Military Science.
All right, welcome back to Freedomizer Radio. Just a couple of spoof commercials that we play once in a while here on the air. That first one was the Trevin Isle 1 Gopher Dipping Barbecue Sauce commercial made by our guest right now, the Commie. Commie, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with you, Jay.
All right, and that other spoof commercial that I played about the Sergeant Slaughter's School of Military Science, that was our own Rusty Shackelford. So if anybody has a spoof commercial, keep it clean, send it in to proof@freedomizerradio.com, and we'll see if we can't get it into the rotation here with us. So I believe I have my regular 6 until 8 o'clock Eastern co-host on the line with us. Craig, are you still there?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Okay. I'm
here. We didn't scare you off yet, huh? Okay, cool. We didn't scare you off. Cool.
All right. Is Commie there?
Yeah, oh, yeah, Commie's here.
Okay. All right. Can I kind of start this part two off here?
Yeah, go for it, man. It's all yours.
Okay. I get why capitalism has taken a hit. One of the issues is that you have individuals who are promoting capitalism, but not they don't prescribe to it. They want to sort of meld it with a different agenda. And this is about our representatives. Because one of the things that they have done with capitalism is they've allowed it to run amok and be contrary to our constitutions. And here's an example. And this goes along with our push over the last 80 years to make our state's constitutions irrelevant and not acknowledge the power that has been vested to the state in our constitution. Because we have had a merge, especially like in our retail, where we have had Walmart as an example, and I'm using them because they're our current example.
Mm-hmm.
They have been allowed to create this huge superpower in the capitalism world and create a virtual monopoly. And they have been unchecked. Because while you, one of the solutions is that with capitalism, you still are regulated and fall under the government. And the federal government has the authority to regulate interstate commerce. But we should be able to move freely, believe me, between states. We should be able to move freely, trade freely, state to state, all of that. But what you have in a situation like Walmart, and this goes into our media, these large conglomerates, which have sucked up the local businesses. And there has been no protection there. So it's not capitalism that's the problem. It's the failure to regulate. And take a company like GE, where we have the shareholders in companies that have been basically neutered, and they have no say. And when you have no say, then it really doesn't work. You know, you have GE who tanked, you know, they tanked their stock while still sucking out a huge amount of money at the top. The CEO destroyed the company and was still compensated, and there was no recourse for those shareholders.
Yeah.
The shareholders of companies aren't able to, to hold leadership accountable. Ford, GM, Chrysler, all of those, same difference. So it's not capitalism, because this isn't really capitalism that we're seeing in our large corporations. Does that make sense?
Okay.
It's not capitalism. Capitalism works because capitalism is just like our republic. But the shareholders do not have a voice. That they do not. They have lost the power, and they have not been supported through regulation. And this is like regulation that we're talking about. We want our government to intervene, but the wrong way. They haven't been intervening. They have been intervening in ways that don't promote capitalism, which has thrown the balance off. It's increased their budget, which have made us poorer. I mean, all of these things are intertwined. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I completely agree.
This
with
is
you.
A conservative talking, people. Business owner. I get.
Oh no. And you know, I have been there before too. A little brief background history on me. I used to live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I ran a promotions company. I worked for all the nightclubs, and I did promotions deals for them. You know, whenever there was like a ladies' night at one of the big clubs in Vegas, I was sometimes behind setting all the, you know, all the promotions, all the advertising, all that up. I know what it is to run your own business. I understand what it is to do this. I get where you're coming from, man, and I know that you know, most people cling to that freedom to be able to do that. And, you know, I love doing that. That was cool. You know, I had a good time doing it. But, you know, slowly, you know, I mean, when I was there was a brief period of time for about 3 years that, you know, I really dropped out of the political sphere. And, you know, I just didn't care anymore. You know, I got real entwined in the system. And, you know, slowly, my political mind that I used to have worked its way back up into me, and it brought me to where I am today. You know, I'm real big involved in, you know, into radical politics. I'm real big involved in, you know, things like, you know, protest, direct action. I'm real big into all this now. And I have, you know, this new lease on life, I guess you could say. So I understand what the freedoms that you see that you get within the capitalist system. However, that goes really even deeper into my critique of the system. Now, if you have anything to add in there, now go for it, and then I'll add in my little critique.
I really want to know how you go from a cap. What's the alternative? What type of system? If you're not going to prescribe to capitalism, you have socialism or communism, which are virtually interchangeable economically. What's the solution? Because you don't have a pure plan, so you're really promoting something that has not been thought out to the fullest. And what do you gain if we tear down this system? What do you gain? You gain nothing. You're tearing down a system. You're taking us backwards, for one thing. Why not prescribe to the fact that of enforcing the system that's already in place?
Okay, and what, I,
how
I
has
will...
the system made your life so horrible that you feel you need to tear this whole system down and throw it away? And
okay.
in the meantime, you're going to have another country, because this is also a balance, because we still live in the world. And, you know, we have to be able to support our armed services because you have because if our armed services takes a backseat to another, the countries that are on deck, there's a bad situation there.
Okay. And
go ahead.
Let me go through all this, and then just let me get all the way through this so that it all I can clear up everything for you. And then when I'm done, I'll let you get in there with what you have to, with what you got to say. Does that sound cool?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, I for a while there, you know, I took real big advantage of the capitalist system. I really did. I mean, I was making good money out there. I made probably close to about $100,000 a year. I was making good money. I don't necessarily know what it was that, you know, kind of set me off back into my, you know, more radical politics type of view, but something did, and I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe it's just embedded in me that deeply that, you know, I suppressed it for a little while and it came back. But whatever the reasoning that it came back, you know, I started to just, you know, think about all this stuff again. You know, when I was younger, I was real big into, like, the whole punk movement, you know, tight jeans, leather jacket with spikes on it, you got a mohawk. I was real big into that, and that's where my big introduction to anarchism and radical politics began. For a while there, I really kind of separated myself from that. I didn't hold the same ideals. Maybe I did, and I just, you know, never really thought about it again after I kind of, you know, separated myself from that movement. But eventually I came back into it, and, you know, I started thinking about these things again, and I'm like, man, this is really where I feel I fit. Because, you know, I started looking at what I was doing and, you know, what I was doing in the business that I was running, what I was, you know, I was unhappy with just about everything. So when I got back into, you know, my more radical political type views, I was back to myself. I felt more at home in with me, I guess you could say. So my critique on capitalism kind of came back. And what that critique is that it's not necessarily, you know, my life that it's, you know, screwed up. I mean, because, I mean, if anything, I over the years and, you know, the years that I've been on this earth, I've benefited from the capitalist system. And, yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, that's hard for people to understand. Well, if you're benefiting from it, why are you complaining? But that's where I guess my more humanistic type of views come into play. My critique on it is that, yes, and to go back to what you had said a little while ago, yes, what we have right now, I agree with you 100%, is not free market capitalism. I do believe, however, that it is an off branch of...
Hold on. I want to clarify. We have a free market capitalist system. It's been skewered, and it's being abused, without a doubt. We still have a free market out there, people. I just want to make that clear. We're a capitalist nation, so I just want to make sure that.
Yes, there is definitely capitalistic qualities to this nation. I would agree with you. And let me kind of rephrase that. I agree with you. I just kind of said it wrong. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are under. I mean, we're still able to, you know, trade freely with one another. I mean, there's great examples of that. Look at something like, you know, Craigslist or eBay or, you know, something along the lines of that. The basic foundation, and it's just the basic foundation of a free market capitalist system, is incorporated in the system that we have today, yes. And it has been skewered to, you know, a whole nother level. But here's my big critique on it. How is it, this is something, and if somebody can answer this for me and have me not be able to, at least, you know, in my own head, be able to not counteract that this question, I will become an anarcho-capitalist right now.
Okay.
The question that I have is, how do you stop?
Hold on. Drum roll, because I may have a conversion. Come on. All right. Here.
Go for it. I doubt it. I've asked this question to plenty of other people, and they haven't been able to answer it without me being able to debate it. So here's my question. When you have, and let me get all the way through this because this is kind of a long question.
Okay.
When you have a system like capitalism, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions throughout this explanation as well. When you have a system like capitalism, greed and want are a lot of the is what drives the system. Am I correct in saying that?
No.
No. How am I not correct in saying that? Clarify that for me.
It's not driven exclusively by greed and want. Capitalism, okay. When we talk about capitalism, okay, and this is going to be a little lengthy, so just let me finish this one out too.
Go for it. The floor is yours.
Capitalism is not exclusively driven by profit, even. Because when we think, we have to remember that a capitalist society is top to bottom. It encompasses everyone. Okay?
Sure, I would agree with that.
Okay. So everybody who is involved in the capitalist system is a dynamic portion of capitalism. We all drive it, correct?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to use this example because you mentioned something earlier. You mentioned that you were involved in the punk rock scene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is not exclusive. You have artists of every genre of music involved in the capitalist system, correct?
Sure.
You have artists who, you know, prescribe to painting. We you know, quote unquote, starving artists involved in the capitalist system, correct?
Correct.
So, are they primarily driven by profit and greed?
When you're speaking of the in air quotes here,
are they all driven to participate in their art form primarily? Are all of them driven primarily by profit and greed, or are some of them driven merely because they want to participate in that art form?
I would say that you have both.
You have both, correct. So it's not solely driven by profit and greed. And now let's also look at profit and greed, because you did not say profit. You said greed and want.
I would throw profit in there.
Greed. No, you didn't. You said greed and want.
Well, yeah,
that's what
I did say.
It's driven by greed and want, and that's not true.
But I would also throw profit in there.
No, you didn't. Not until I you did it, but
well,
we
no,
can
no,
do
no.
the replay. You said
no,
you
no,
said
I'm aware that I didn't say it previously.
Reason,
I'm saying that I would throw profit in there as well.
Right. But I'm
that's
saying
that's one that I did not add in.
Right, and I'm not picking on you.
Oh no, that's cool.
I want to talk about greed. I want to talk about greed for a second, because we have just as we throw around the term racist loosely
mm-hmm.
today,
mm-hmm.
And it gets cast at certain things that aren't racist, but it's sort of just thrown out there today.
Mm-hmm.
Greed is loosely used, because profit is one of the main dynamics of a capitalist system, because
yes.
Without profit, no one has a job. Without profit, nobody invests in companies, thus they can't expand and create jobs. So we are
sure.
primarily profit-driven, because without profit, our economy cannot hum. And One of the pitfalls or unfortunate things about capitalism is that for every peak you have a valley, because without success you can't have failure. So you're going to hit
that's
hard
true.
Times. That's no doubt, and that sucks. But part of the reason that when our economy depletes, it's not the greed of companies. It's we the people. We have become irresponsible consumers. So that when we hit these valleys, you have an enormous amount of individuals who live paycheck to paycheck. So our personal economies within our homes. And let me finish this out, because this is important. Okay? So if we become unemployed because we are a free society, thus we have the freedom to work in work, and companies sometimes fail and have to lay people off. So if you are living paycheck to paycheck and you lose your job, you have no safety net of your own. Thus you look to the government for your safety net. But if we're spending responsibly and we understand that we should live within our means, which we actually are returning to that, because for the first time in over 46 years, personal savings has went up and personal debt has went down.
Mm-hmm.
So the responsibility is not on the company. The companies are working the same as they are. Now, we have a few large corporations which have some issues that need to be addressed through regulation, which re-empowers the people. It always comes back to the people. You know, you understand? You see how this works? Because the people who are investors in these companies have lost their voice and have no recourse to hold the people at the top of these corporations accountable. It's just like
That's
our
true.
Government. But we are returning to that. So you don't tear down the system. You fix the system. But to say that it's driven by capitalism is driven by greed is further from the truth, because we are all part of the capitalist system. If you are not employed today, you are still part of the capitalist system. You reap the benefits, and you unfortunately have to bear the downturns. But at the end of the day, it is the best system. It's not driven by greed. Greed is a term that should be applied to individuals who break the law, insider trading, things that are illegal. That is greed. Simply making a profit is not greed, because profit is what profits, not the seeking of profits, but profits in general. The actual profits drive our economy, because out of profit is how people prosper. And not just the individuals that own shares in companies, but that are employed by companies. Because if there is no profit, the company has no way to employ people. Continue. Or does that make sense, what I said?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I mean, one thing, man. I mean, I know it down to every last little gear, how the capitalist system works. So, I mean, I don't mean to sound contradictory here, but don't for a second think that I don't understand how the capitalist system works. I do. I understand how it works.
But does my analysis make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Your analysis was, a perfect analysis of how a free market capitalism works, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
So here's my issue with it, and I'm going to go back to a couple of the things that you had said. Okay, so now I would disagree with you on a couple points. I would say that now there are other things that go involved into the system that are a part of it. However, I would say the big things that drive the system, and let me get all the way through this, and I'm going to, because we're kind of running out on time, so I'm going to try and get all the way through this.
Oh, we got 30 minutes. Keep going. You can stay for our show. So keep going.
So the first thing that, you know, the three biggest things, I'm not saying that these three things are all encompassing. They are not the only, you know, gears that work the capitalist system. But the three biggest ones are greed, want, and profit. Now let me kind of define these.
Greed
things
is not part of the capitalist system, because greed is where the illegal activity and thus breaks the system down. Greed is not a part of the system. You cannot, because greed is not a part of the working system of capitalism. Greed is the illegal activity that you need to regulate to make the capitalist system work. By lumping, you must not have gotten what I said. Greed is not.
Greed breaks
the system down.
Yes, greed does break the system down. I would say, okay, let me rephrase that a little bit to what you're saying. Greed does not run the system. What runs the system is want and profit. Would you disagree with me there? At least the biggest
consumer. I would not use want. It's profit driven and consumerism. Consumer, you have to have consumption, so it's profit and consumption, and it's a balance. And that's what you're balancing there. So want, you could say yes, but along with want, you have the necessities of life. So it's driven by profit and consumer. It's driven by the entrepreneur and the consumer. That's what drives it. Profit's not evil. You're trying to paint profit as evil. Profit's not evil. Greed is evil. Well, abuse is evil. Abuse of the system. Insider trading, abuse of the system.
That's where greed comes into place. When you have abuse of the system. I would agree with you. However,
but it's not part of the capitalist system. That's what I'm saying. It's something that you have.
Let me get all the way through, and I can show you through my interpretation of the capitalist system where greed does come in.
Do you want to pick this up after the break? We'll just take our break now before we get back into this, and then it gives us about 30 minutes to take care of it. Cool.
All right.
You got the commie from False Flag Radio, and you got the neocon from We Are America United Network, and he's also my co-host here on Freedomizer Radio from 6 until 8 Eastern every weeknight. You're listening to Freedomizer Radio. We'll be back in a couple minutes, guys.
If it's really gone.
Are you suffering from asthma? Well, now you don't have to worry anymore. Instead of using a pump, you now have the freedom to take a pill that will last for 12 hours at a time, so you don't have to worry about losing that pump anymore. Side effects include headache, back, nausea, eye pain, ear pain, stomach pain, fainting, skin bursting, blindness, heart palpitations, constipation, asthma attacks, impotence, scurvy, pneumonia, herpes, and sometimes death. So call us now, and you can have it all from the American Asthmatic Foundation.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Join me, Mr. Britt, on the Mr. Britt Show on Freedomizer Radio. Every Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 9 p.m. Central European Time. I'll cover the stories in a way the mainstream media doesn't.
Hey, Freedomizers, have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com, where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
All right. Welcome back to Freedomizer Radio. You got Jay here and my co-host Craig and our friend here, the commie from False Flag Radio. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Good, I'm right here.
Man. Good, man. Hey, I don't want to get in the way of your guys' little discussion here. I'm going to sit back and listen, all right?
If at any point you feel I'm hijacking your show, man, just tell me to shut up.
Oh, no. No, technically, who's right? Who's Not starts at 6 Eastern, Monday through Friday.
And like I said earlier, Jay really, unfortunately, we're going to let him handle Saturday morning cartoons on Saturday because he's better equipped to deal with that lower-level conversation. During the week, we try to have that high-level astute conversation that
blow.
Really he gets kind of confused and lost in. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, those of you who don't know.
We let him have Saturday morning cartoons. Seriously. We have a show.
Yeah, me and Craig are going to do a 2-hour show on Saturday morning on my little crap.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to cover remedial reading and all of those things to try to get back to the basics of life. So.
Read Cat in the Hat. Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah. But someday we're gonna move up to 5-letter words, but we're really relegated to 1, 2, 3, and 4-letter words. So, but, we're hoping that Jay can progress through.
Boy, that's a low blow, man. Low blow.
he's a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. I mean, come on, what are you really expecting? So.
Well, and his call dropped. So.
right now he has his thumb out the window checking the, precipitation.
Oh, all right, man. So anyway, let's just kind of keep this rolling along.
Yeah, because I'm looking to convert you. So continue on with the big question that I need to answer.
Okay, so the big question that you need to answer is how do you stop? Now here, let me ask you a couple more questions here, and then you'll get it.
Okay.
Did at one point in time in the American history, did we have an absolutely perfect free market capitalism?
We you're never going to have a perfect system in place because we're dealing with individuals. So no, there are always going to be dynamics of any system. The difference is that we have already in place the most perfect system that you can put in place, which ensures freedom for individuals and provides tools to realign or reset the course of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Our system is only as sound as the generation that's in control. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why everything's generational. That's why I said part of our problem today is the fact that we look at history not as a reference, but we sort of try to take history and insert it today. As though it's a reality of today.
I'll give you that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. There's a lot of instances of that.
Right. You take Iran. Take our foreign policy. How many times do you hear the argument because of the situation with Iran today that they want to go back to the Shah, or they want to go back to this? Things back 50, 60 years ago. We don't have individuals in leadership of our country representing our country today. Kissinger's sort of involved, but I mean, the guy's 87 years old. Come on, let him rest. He doesn't, we have a completely different landscape of our government today. And you have different influences, different opinions. You know, we have different decision makers today. So we need to look at that back when we, you know, put the Shaw in place. We need to look at that as a mistake, but that isn't a reality of what's going on today. You know, and we take a look at racism. When that, you know, when slavery, you know, do we are we a slave state today? No, that's part of our history. It's a dent. It's a blemish. It's huge. Huge, you know, mark that is not positive in any way, shape, or form in our history. But that's the point. It's history. It's a reference. It's not. It's not relevant today as far as a description of what our country is today.
Mm-hmm.
It shaped how we got to today. It's a reference point. That's all it is. We need to keep we need to keep our description of the United States within a 20 to 30 year period. That's an accurate identity to place on us. You know, the things that have happened in the last 20, 30 years, you know, we still have individuals making decisions in our country in place today. And that's part of the reason why it's so important to not allow our congressmen to be in their seats for 20, 30, 40 years. Because when you do that, you allow them to hijack your system, and they stretch out the period of time that they are an influence. And then that's where you get these 20, 30, 40-year periods, which just keep tearing down our freedoms. You have people in power that continue to make bad decisions. If you have that turnover, which is how our system was put in place, you know, in the beginning, up until, I mean, even at the point where Abraham Lincoln was still serving, you know, Congress, your trip to Congress was a short-term thing. You know, it was a part-time job. But it's evolved into this hijacking. So yeah, we've never had a perfect system. We will never have a perfect system because it still has the human element. What we do have is a system that allows us to correct the problems. But for about 100 years now, we the people haven't been actively involved. We've sort of just delegated rather than directing, because we have the ability to direct because of our vote. We hold the power. Mm-hmm. We've delegated. There's a difference. We don't call them delegates, do we? We call them representatives. No. Do you know who we call delegates? We call delegates the individuals that we send to vote for our president, because we don't actually elect our president. We delegate that.
Mm-hmm.
We turn that over. Now, we influence the process because that's the type of nation we are, but we delegate that. We don't tell them. They're not really representing us. They're delegates. We've given that power. That's the best system that they came up with, our framers, that we have delegates. So we have representatives that we vote into power, but we can also take that back. But we forgot that we could take that back. We forgot we can hold them accountable. That's why I'm excited over this Tea Party movement, not so much because of the politics, but because of what they are doing. They have influenced Congress. They influenced Congress because our congressmen realized that if they continued with the agenda, I mean, they stopped cap and trade. Not because they came off the agenda, but because they realized, we're in jeopardy of not getting reelected in November, because there's consequence. Thus, the will of the people is more in tune with what they're doing. They've still passed some poor legislation. They just passed today a $30 billion another bailout of the banks. That is, you know, being. You know, it's disguised as, you know, opening up money to small businesses, which is just BS. Because if you have the credit and you have the ability to repay, the banks have not stopped trying to make a profit, and they sell money. And the only way they sell money and make their real money is selling loans. So that has never stopped.
I would agree with you.
So they've stopped giving it to credit whores, individuals that don't pay. Yeah, well, duh. Come on, they don't make money when you don't pay. So that has stopped. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good, man.
That's the best way I can, I mean, these aren't simple questions, and I hate one-word answers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no. I do too, man. No, and they're not simple questions. I mean, these are big questions that are critiques on big ideas and big things. You can't answer it with a yes or no question. I completely understand.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we're talking about – I mean, that's why I said I had to reinforce – no, we don't. We never had a perfect system, but we never will. Your system definitely will not be a perfect system, and this one will be better, but we'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here comes the big question. It's kind of a statement and a question at the same time, and you can retort to it however you want, but you got to let me get this whole thing out.
All right.
Okay, so when you have the system – let's say you have the capitalistic system in place, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you do not limit what companies are able to do, they're going to mess up a lot of stuff. Not only are they going to treat their employees like hell, but they're going to screw up the environment, and they're not going to – those big guys at top are not going to care because they're going to be interested in making that profit. So the way to stop that and to stop these people and these corporations from gaining too much power like they have now – Would you agree with me that the corporations have a stranglehold on the government now?
Mm.
Are you there?
Yeah, well...
That you can say with the
answer. No, I don't agree. Can I elaborate in about one sentence?
Sure, go for it.
They don't have a stranglehold. They just have an imbalanced influence on our government.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it like that. So I agree with you, but I don't want to use that word stranglehold because it's not.
That's fine.
It can be countered. So let me put it like that. And you're getting into what we and that's why it's important that we need we need campaign finance reform and things like that. So yes.
Okay.
Today, but we have a system to fix it.
Okay, and then I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from, and I won't use the word stranglehold. I'll say that they have a lot of influence on what happens.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
They have an influence. They have an unbalanced amount of influence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changing, and it seriously is. If you look at the elections that are these primaries, it is seriously changing because the individuals that they're giving all this money to. We are seeing winning primaries that
mm-hmm.
have nowhere near the amount of money, and we have not seen. When we seen with McCain was the same old BS out there in Arizona. He should have never won that campaign. But you have – I'm serious. We are seeing a shift, so continue.
Okay, so now we're seeing the shift into it's starting to slowly take away – it's not necessarily taking away the destructiveness of these companies because they're still doing a lot of destruction, but it's slowly starting to change so that the power is not so much in their hands. It's slowly starting to, it's a real gradual type of change, but it's slowly starting to come out of the hands of the corporations. And what would you say that it goes, where is that power going? Because when you have this type of system that we have in place, that power has to go somewhere. The power that, you know, when you speak of the word power as in, you know, control, it's a lot like electricity in that it
mm-hmm.
can't just disappear. It has
mm-hmm.
to go somewhere. So where would
mm-hmm.
you say that it's going?
Okay. I like that analogy. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So let me kind of take just a quick second here because I've never – I really like that analogy, so I want to make sure that my answer – I know my answer, so I'm not trying to –
Oh no, it's
all here. But I like the analogy. And okay, so you know, so right now, I'm gonna use my house. Actually, we've got two circuit breakers. Okay.
Okay.
Two entry points. All right.
Let's call one the government and one the corporation. Let's throw a third one.
No.
Call it the...
No, we'll say we have one source is the people. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
one source are corporations, special interest groups. Because that's the reality. You know, Congress are only are pawns to whoever is empowering them. They have to be empowered by somebody. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, George W. Bush, Rumsfeld, all of these individuals are being influenced by either the people or by corporations. That's a reality. That's true. I do not debate that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a system. So you have this, take from my house. I got 200 points because we did our addition, and then we put on with the home office. Okay.
Okay.
So right now, the new one, the second source breaker, if you will, mm-hmm. that would be to me representing the people today. It is powering less of my house. It has less influence. Okay, less of my lights are controlled. Okay, we'll call the lights Congress. Okay.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following you.
We have somewhat control. Okay, but majority of the control, because majority of the money that goes into the campaigns, because it really comes down to the campaigns getting elected. You got to remember that. These individuals look at their power in whatever segment that they get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So a congressman or woman looks at their control in 2-year increments, and then sign it in 6-year increments. Does that make sense? Am I off here?
No. You're making sense here.
So what they do while they're in office dictates their ability to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, and this is what's important. This is what has hugely. This is why the two-party system for the voter is horrendously bad.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because you have roughly 30 to 40% of the people on either party. I mean, 30 or 40% of their vote don't have to worry about. They don't have to cater to. And
sure.
And the reality is that the Democratic Party historically has catered to individuals who have unfortunately become dependent on public money,
mm-hmm.
in some shape or form.
Sure.
That's a reality, people. I mean, I'm not being desperate, you know, I'm not putting those people down. It's an unfortunate position to be in. I get it.
Yeah, it is.
I get it. You know, today we have the equivalent of the entire population of the state of Texas being on public assistance of some form. That's insane. Okay. So that's how they have traditionally, you know, catered and sort of, you know, harnessed this vote. So they don't have to worry about that. All they got to do is make sure that those systems stay in play. Okay? And then they've looked elsewhere, and then you have corporations who are influencing them through deals. You know, GE, they betted on cap and trade, and thank God they lost. I hope that company goes under, period. I really do.
Okay.
Because they took individuals' wealth, all of their shareholders. I mean, do you realize the drop that they've seen in their wealth? All because they wanted to bet everything on cap and trade and promote this just insane global warming BS, you know, and bet everything on it. Okay? But they funneled a ton of money into it. And then you have the same thing going on the Republican side as well. And they have traditionally been known as, you know, catering to the small business. But they haven't. They haven't catered to the small business. Small business does not hinge on legislation. Okay? Small business, because we're not so intertwined, we're freestanding. We don't cross all these different borders and everything like that. But what happens is if you make, which I advocate, a system where we allocate monies and fund the campaigns of the people, and this, you know, if you are running for Senate, you get X number of dollars. And you know what? You may not, you're not going to be able to run all these BS ads, but you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to put your feet on the ground and go meet the people. And it's better. It works. That's why these Tea Party candidates are getting, are winning primaries. They're winning elections because they are reaching the people directly. It's not these BS ads.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, our system works. And this is how you fix, and it's accountability and recourse of the people that is going, that is going to fix these corporations. We do need, we need some regulation, which allow, which puts in place laws, which return the vote. You know, all of this proxy nonsense and all of this. You know what? If you're going to be invested in a company, why are you turning your vote over to this proxy BS?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'll give you that.
So, so it's always comes back to the people. So, using the analogy, you know, right now we have corporations having the most influence, but we haven't lost our influence. We still have influence. We still are the ones that have to cast the votes. But as we wake up and realize that we need to start looking at the individual and not who people tell us we should be voting for, but rather investigating, getting out there and meeting, you know, going to these events that these candidates are holding and realizing that you can, that these people are approachable.
Sure.
And realize that we can't sit at home on the computer, but you should between the hours of 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern and 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. You should be in front of your computer listening to me and Jay. So, no, but seriously, I mean, that's not where you're going to get all your information. You have, still have to get there. That's why we're starting an action page at WAU. We are America United. It's us. We the people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting an action page. You know what I mean? I want to know, what
sure.
are you guys doing? When's the last time you went to a board meeting? When's the last time you went, you know, to a school board meeting? When's the last time you went to a city council meeting? These are the things that are going to really change, and these are things that are happening now. The Glenn Beck rally, no matter what you think about Glenn Beck, that rally was not about Glenn Beck, people. That was about those half a million people plus that showed up with their families. Politics is not off limits. These are things we should be talking about. We should be sharing our political views with our children. Because if you're not, somebody is going to. We've got to be the first person that are instilling these ideas into our children. Now, they,
sure.
you know, but understanding that they may have different opinions, but those first times, you know, seeing children, when I was in that campaign, I'm telling you, man, it was, you know, I don't know, you can call me whatever, but that stuff, you know, moves seriously. When you see children interacting at these events and getting excited to see, you know, my candidate's name was Jeremy. A kid excited to see Jeremy. What? You know, who is he? He was nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But he had.
Hey guys, too. Hey.
But we lost out. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that answers the question, but we can make that even.
I'll give you that. Jay, go ahead and say what you need to, man.
I think we're against the hour.
We got less than 2 minutes to go.
Shit. Whoops. Damn. I guess again.
Did I convert you?
No, you did not convert me. Trust me, the conversation is not over yet.
You want to join us for Who's Right, Who's Nuts?
Yeah, I would love to join you, man. I just don't want to hijack your show, dude. And that's pretty much what
this is what these shows are about, and this is good conversation. You know,
hey, man, if you want me to join in, I'll be there.
Yeah, love you.
You have your
browser, I think. So.
Yeah, I will.
You have an open invitation. All right, well, let's wrap it up here, guys. Me and Craig will be back in about 4 or 5 minutes with our show, Who's Right? That's me. Who's Nuts? That's him. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Freedomizer Radio. We'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Yep.
Say bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Later.